change. We also absolutely loved Foster, and we had built a house up here, and we just wanted to live here all the time. We didn't want to keep having to do that whole kind of schlep into Sydney and keep sort of traveling around on planes, etc. You know, we were ready to kind of really do something different.
Yeah. And
welcome to Convos, Stories That Connect, the Lifestyle Barrington Coast podcast, where we dive into the heart of what makes this region so special. Through candid and inspiring conversations, we explore what draws people to this breathtaking part of the Mid-North Coast and what keeps them coming back. Our guests share their personal journeys, challenges and passions, offering a glimpse into the vibrant lifestyles that shape the Barrington Coast. Hey friends, welcome back to the show. Welcome back to Convos, Stories That Connect, the Lifestyle Barrington Coast podcast, where we dive into the heart of what makes this region so special. And as you know, with our wonderful conversations, we're always joined by a guest, and today I'm stoked to have Helen Black with us from the Coastal Brewing Company. Helen's got a great story, successful local business, not necessarily somebody that came from a brewing background. So we're going to dive into that a little bit today as well. But we'll be chatting with Helen today about the Coastal Brewing Company, about our region, and just find out a little bit about what makes Helen tick. So Helen, welcome to Convos. It's nice to have you here with us.
Thanks, I'm delighted to be here.
Hey, we might start off with a little bit of backstory, because I'm sure a lot of people are going to be quite familiar with Coastal Brewing Company, but there'll be some that aren't. So, like, tell us a little bit about the backstory and how you actually got started with Coastal Brewing Company.
Okay, so in a nutshell, Simon, it's actually we took a big sort of gamble and we commercialized my husband's hobby. It's something that it's kind of like one of those things we've been talking about for a long time. We were always going on holiday and we just loved craft beer. And we were just always talking about it. And then we suddenly decided to do it. My husband kind of made the decision and I went along with it. And it's something that's a real passion for us. And like anyone who has a local small business, you have to have passion, because that has to kind of keep you through the difficult days and kind of keep you motivated. But yeah, so we had both had corporate careers and we were ready for a change. We also absolutely loved Foster, and we had built a house up here and we just wanted to live here all the time. We didn't want to keep having to do that whole kind of schlep into Sydney and keep sort of traveling around on planes, etc. You know, we were ready to kind of really do something different.
Yeah. And so when was that? Like, when did that all happen?
So that was we made the decision in about 2015, and then we opened our doors on beginning of July 2017. So we have grown very organically, effectively, in that we just started really small, and then we've just kind of, as we've kind of, kind of sold stock, we've kind of been able to kind of put more money into our business, so that we've done it very differently to normal in that many people will actually just sort of get a number of investors in at the start and go from there. We've done it differently. We just wanted to grow it because it's come from a hobby. It's come from sort of like our heart and our passion. We wanted to do it our way.
Yeah. And you have really kind of carved out a bit of a space for yourself here within the local community. You know, you're quite well known. Obviously, you've got a terrific product. Speaking from personal experience, you have a terrific product. But what else do you think it is that's kind of enabled you to, I guess, position your brand in the local area the way that you have?
So we are really passionate about the local community in which we live and work. And we bring that into everything from the experience that people have coming into the tap room to the products that we have. So, you know, our products are all named after local areas, whether it's a geography or a coastline, a hill, or even, you know, a nickname associated with the local area. That is so central to what we do. And what we're doing is we're basically celebrating the local area. We love it so much.
Yeah.
And we make kind of like linkages to things. So we have a beer called Green Point Dry Irish Stout. So It's a dry Irish stout, so we've put the word green in that. It links to Greenpoint, which is local. So we have fun coming up with the names as well.
Yeah, right. So what is it about this region that you love so much? Because like you said, you already had a house here before you brought the business here. So there must have been some kind of connection to the area, whether that was an emotional connection or whatever it was. But what makes, you know, our area, the Barrington Coast, so special to you?
So it's kind of like a nostalgic thing. So when we were living in Sydney, we just used to come up for weekends and, we're just 3 hours north of Sydney and we had really quite stressful jobs and just this getaway. So it so became associated with kind of like just enjoyment and a bit of escapism as to a bit of adventure because you have everything here. We literally have the lake, we have the coast and we have the Barrington Tops as well. So whether you want a day walking, biking, you can literally just do that here. And the other thing that I absolutely loved is the local produce. So this has been growing and growing over the last 10 years, but we are really, for this area, carving out a position as a really excellent area for local produce. And that's really exciting to me.
Yeah, and you see that at the local markets too, don't you?
Absolutely,
now we've got
yes.
some terrific yep. local produce markets where there are growers and they're so proud of what they produce, and what they produce is really good.
Like it's absolutely
really
brilliant,
good
yeah.
produce,
yep. And we've got amazing bread. We have amazing bread. We have amazing cheeses. It's just a really lovely area.
Too much amazing bread. I tell you what, I have to eat less of that. But we've got some great bakeries here,
don't we? We do.
So your brand philosophy revolves around enjoying life. LIFE.
Yes.
Local, independent, fresh every time. Tell us a little bit more about that philosophy, where it came from, I guess, and how it shapes what you do now.
Yep. So it's really much, that's very much about how David and I, so David, my co-founder and husband and head brewer at the brewery, it's very much about how we think. So about enjoying life. That's what it's got to be all about. And the local piece, I can talk for hours on this, Simon, so I'll keep it short. But the local piece to me is if you set up a business in a local area like Foster or Tuncurry or anywhere else in the Barrington Coast region, then you want to be part of this community and you want to bring something to that community. And what I found is if you are doing something that's a small business, whether it is bread, it's beer, or it's a distillery, you have to have that passion. Mm-hmm. And where you have that passion, you get amazing artisan produce. And it's really that local piece, to me, is about quality. It's about being able to talk to producers as well. So the face-to-face piece that we have with people in the tap room, you know, that's really important to us. It's also really important to our customers as well. It's all about that whole experience. So it's really tapping into that local piece.
Yeah.
The fresh, the independent is really about us being able to do what we want and bring customers, we're able to be really flexible. And it's kind of like a little bit of a beer in the craft beer industry. It's a bit of a thing, the independence right. thing. And we fight for that independence. We talk about the independence. We have a logo on our cans. That's all about independence. Mm-hmm. So it's a craft beer, piece. Now the fresh is actually about it's about the essence of our product. So essentially we have got five core beers and we sell those between Lismore and Canberra. Mm-hmm. And we have one, we have someone who also distributes through their own business, a subscriber business will distribute cartons across Australia as well. But essentially the freshness is about us. We have five core, but we also have brewed over 110 different beer styles.
Wow.
So the freshness is about bringing just different flavors. It is about small batch. So we don't produce mass produce our cans. We a lot of the ingredients are very expensive, and we also want to make sure that whoever has a can of beer from us, it's at its freshest. So that's why, you know, we'll often just do canning runs of sort of 2,000, 3,000 cans.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really about just bringing a bit of innovation. So we've got a range of beers called Show Off. And I'll come back to you, Simon, on the naming yeah. of Show Off, actually. But the show of Hazy Pale range is where we bring in experimental hop or another experimental ingredient to market. So we had a beer called Show Off Anchovy and Hazy Pale. And this Hazy Pale, the hop had been had come out of the US and was experimental. So effectively what happens is the hop producers develop these hops and then they just put a small amount into market and then you can kind of purchase them and then you can kind of see how they go. They're also, and then the hop producers are looking at those hops as well to see whether there's a commercial market for them. So we were able with Show Off Anchovy to get this hop called Anchovy, which is like a really controversial name. And but anyway, got attention and people liked it. But it would have been one of the first uses of that Show Off Anchovy, the anchovy hop in Australia. And so, you know, being able to do that type of thing and with small, fresh batches, we can do that. So it's really about innovation.
Yeah, I think those of us that don't own or run breweries probably make ourselves feel better by thinking, oh, it's just a whole lot of hard work, you know, and the romance isn't there. But you've just shattered that for me. It sounds like you have way too much fun at work.
It's a lot of cleaning. It's a lot of cleaning now, Simon. Come round one day when we're cleaning, and then you'll see that bit.
Okay, thank you. I feel better. So I want to come back to community a little bit in a minute, but, you know, you've mentioned the names of your beers a couple of times, and they are all connected, I guess, to the local area. How do you go about coming up with the names or choosing the areas that you're going to name them after? Are there kind of stories behind them? And tell us, I know this is like asking, you know, which of your kids you like best, but do you have a favourite?
So, do you know, it's just a lot of fun. It's just part of the fun is actually coming up with the names. And we talk to customers, we listen, people give us suggestions. We banter around in the brew house for a bit about what name we're going to use, etc. But I'll take you through the background to the name Show Off. So,
okay, yeah.
As you're coming over the bridge, so you're driving from Tuncurry across the bridge to Foster. And if you just look on your right, there's a little island. And and I should know the proper name for that island. I think it's
Riviera.
Yes, the Riviera. It's like the Riviera.
Yeah.
And it's basically, it's like, we're like, oh, there's these beautiful bodies and there's everyone showing off these amazing tans and these amazing like jet skis and things and wonderful
boats. And the
boats
are all parked there.
They're all parked there.
The gazebos are all out.
So we call that Show Off Island as a bit of fun.
Right.
And so that's how the Show Off range was established. But usually it's a real name for an island that we use. So we've used kind of very mild. We've used, which is an island in Wallace Lake as well. Mm-hmm. We've used, there's actually a snake island. We've used that too.
Right.
Yep. So it's kind of quite funny. It's not scientific, Simon.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because it really does sound like a fun process, I guess, to kind of sit around and decide what's the next area going to be, who are we going to name the next one after. But you have a whole range of different types of beers as
we
well.
We do. We want to be inclusive as much as we can. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's that process like? And tough question without notice. How do you match the style of the beer to the area, or is that kind of a little bit random?
It's a bit random, Simon, and sometimes it's a very long bow, let's just say, that I've made the connection with, and I have to do quite a detailed story. But in terms of beer style, so we are all about, we want anyone who comes into our tap room to really enjoy the experience that they have, and or have a can from a bottle shop or have a pint in a pub. And so what we do is we actually bring out a really wide range. So we're able to do that because we're small batch, and we are able to kind of like move things around in our brew schedule so that we're very nimble. And so we have, you know, we've got a non-alcoholic range. So there's a lot of people now just wanting to have a beer, not feel kind of left out because they don't want to not have a beer. Yeah. And they can have a beer because it's non-alcoholic. And then we also have the full spectrum of beers, and that's really from kind of like sours all the way through to really big stouts. And in the middle of that, there's kind of pale lagers, pale ales, Indian pale ales, and then we'll get some quirky, less popular, but still there's a market for styles of beer sort of in there as well. Mm. And it's really just about us being inclusive, so everyone's got a beer, and everyone has a really different palate as well. And I didn't realize this until I started working in the tap room. People's palate is completely different. So, and when you come into the brewery, you can have a little tasting paddle and just choose what you want to taste. And we're very kind of open, and we talk a lot about the beer styles. And that's one thing in our tap room is everyone is very experienced who is serving in the tap room. And that's something that's really important to us, because we have people who are new to craft beer, but we also have these really kind of detailed people into the detail, craft beer aficionados that come in. And a lot of people travel from overseas and they want to come to specific breweries, etc. So it's really about catering for everyone on that.
Yeah, and you're right, craft beer, like there's a whole movement. Hey, and there's a whole movement that's kind of been growing, I guess, over a few
years. It's a beautiful community,
now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a really lovely community. It's a really good, sort of wholesome type product as well. You know, I find in my experience, people who drink craft beers are not the ones who are, you know, outside kind of falling over at the end of the evening. It's a slightly different sort
It's
of
about
crowd.
Quality. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So for somebody, and you mentioned that you have tasting paddles, which are fabulous. Yep. We've done them a couple of times, especially with your pizza that you do, which is even better. For somebody who's new, though, to craft beer, what should they be looking for? What's a really good coastal brewing brew to start with? And what's, I guess, a nice sort of way to ease themselves into that that whole craft beer movement or space?
Yep. So the first stop, I'd say, if you're coming to the tap room, just come in and chat to us and let us know that you're sort of new to craft beer, etc. We've got two or three beers. One of them is called 2428 Draft, which, as you know, 2428 is our postcode.
Yeah, postcode, yeah.
And 2428 is technically an ale, but actually drinks like a lager. So it's not too malty. It's not too hoppy. So I often find that people might fall into two categories on craft beer. One that really love the malt forward beers, and one that love the hop forward, and then others who don't like either of those, and we cater for those as well. We do seltzers and sours, etc. And so it's actually just kind of gauging that. So 2428 is not too hoppy, it is not too malty either, so it's a really nice easy beer. We then have another one called Palms Pale. Mm-hmm. And it's a Pacific ale. And this beer is actually what keeps the lights on at our brewery. So this is the one you'll see most on tap at venues. Mm-hmm. It's the one that we brew the most. And it's probably the one that we're getting the most known for, I suspect, other than our Hearts Point New England Pale Ale, which...
My personal favourite.
Yeah, it's a very popular one as well. Yeah, but it's popular with the people who like that fruity, hoppy forward beer.
Yeah. And so you've mentioned the tap room a couple of times.
Yeah.
Like, what should people expect when they visit the tap room for the first time? What's the kind of environment and atmosphere like there?
So we want to make sure that anyone coming to the tap room, whether they're a visitor who's coming from far away or a local who comes in very regularly, they have a really great experience. So we will rotate our taps all the time. So we have about 16 to 20 beers available for tasting at any given time. So, and we also cater for others too. So, you know, the local support for our local businesses too is really important. So we also sell in our tap room for drink on premise some local wine from Great Lakes Paddocks. We sell Saxby soft drinks, and we also sell the local distillery, Wall Street Distillery. You can have a gin and tonic as well from those guys, and that's delicious too. So we're really kind of inclusive, so from that perspective. So it's not just all about beer, but we are often talking about beer, and we love talking about beer. And to me, that's one of the most important things, is that people can just come in and they can just chat about beer. And we can chat about beer all day.
Yes, you can.
So in the tap room, it's really all about just having a taste, or you can come in for a pint or a schooner. But the most popular thing is we do little tasting paddles, and people can literally just choose what do they want to taste. And they can even say to me, oh, just give me, you know, four of your most popular, or, you know, I don't like IPAs. Can you give me everything but IPAs? Or I love IPAs. I only want IPAs. So it's a kind of like a banter that sort of goes on about what people like. And so they can do a tasting paddle. They can then have they can enjoy that alongside a pizza that we offer. We also do takeaway cans. We do growlers and squealers. So growlers and squealers are really good fun. So they're effectively like the coffee cup for the beer industry. So they are glass bottles. One's the growler's 1.89 liters. The squealer's 945 mil. And the idea is you buy it the first time, the actual vessel, and then you just fill up. Mm. And these are really good because, one, you get the opportunity to have beer that never gets to can. So it's only on tap at your local brewery. And that will happen. You know, we will sometimes do really small batches that are never canned, but they just go into a keg. And then the other great thing about these is it's because the craft brewing community is so cohesive, and it's like, and having come from sort of financial services as a background, it's like the other end of the spectrum. So it is really, really lovely as the craft beer community. And what the other breweries will do, those that do growler fills, etc., most of them will actually accept another brewery's bottle.
I was going to ask you that question.
Yeah, so we fill a lot that are actually kind of, you know, from Mountain Culture or from White Bay, etc., or Bent Spoke. Yeah. And so it's kind of like this nice sort of, yeah, it's almost sort of like a reciprocal thing about respect that people like to, because there is a thing with craft beer as well, is that people aren't necessarily loyal to a particular brewery. They're loyal to craft beer. So they're always chasing kind of the sort of craft beer aficionados are always chasing what's the latest ingredients, what's the latest hop, you know, what's happening with yeast, etc. And there is a huge, as much as the craft beer industry has grown, so too has that supply chain. And there's a lot of innovation in that supply chain that fuels the growth of the craft breweries.
Yeah. And that's like, I get that. From, you know, even just our conversation today, with the sheer number of different beers you mentioned that you've brewed over, like, relatively, it is a short period of time. You look at, you know, historically some of the big brewers, and they've been around for hundreds, literally, of years, and they have their one or their two stalwart beers, and they still probably brew it exactly the same way that they've done for 100 and whatever years. And there's very little innovation there. But yeah, you're right. How important is it, do you think, to survival of the craft beer industry to continue to innovate like that? Because I think there's a lot of us who might not be loyal, as in never drink anybody else's brew, to one brewery, but we probably have our favorite. And our favorite beer that they produce, and we'll try others, and if we go somewhere, we'll definitely pop into the local craft brewery and have a bit of a try, but we've still got the one that we really like. How important is it overall to continue being innovative and bring new products to market?
Look, it's absolutely key. It is, really, because that is what is expected of an artisan producer, is that you bring your level of expertise in actually designing those beers. And so, yes, absolutely key is the innovation part. But even then, like, we do some adaption as well. So, for example, Brew Coast, which is, it's been a wonderful beer. We launched it mid-year. We brewed it. It's basically an imperial stout. Mm-hmm. And we brewed it with coffee from Little Street Roasters, and Little Street Roasters is a terrific coffee roaster in town.
Yeah,
and
they've
got
business.
Tart and, yep, absolutely. Yep. They've got Tart and Wingman. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so we brewed with their coffee, and we went to market with their coffee, and we went in for an award, et cetera, which was brilliant. We got won an award with it. And so we're always bringing things out that we're trying to be a bit different. So with Brew Coast, half of the batch of Brew Coast has actually gone into barrels. which are ex-bourbon barrels.
Oh, wow.
So that'll be come out of the barrels in June this year, 2025. Yeah. So we're going to have this wonderful kind of syrupy imperial stout that was very flavoursome when it went in, and it'll be even more flavoursome when it comes out. So it's also about kind of adaption and what can we do that's a little bit different.
Yeah. So have you had a situation where, you know, you've come up with something new, innovative product, a different beer, and I guess the idea was this is going to be a short run, and you put it out to the market and thought, oh my God, that was fantastic. Like we need to add this to our regular list, because you've got people coming back asking for it, disappointed that it's not on the menu anymore. Like, what do you do? Yeah. What do you do in a situation like that?
So it's a real challenge for us actually. And we battle with it all the time. We talk about it a lot. So we have our five core, and we've actually got some kind of contractual obligations in place for those five core. So those five core have to stay no matter what. Mm. But we're a team at the end of the day. We're a team of three. And we have to be able to constantly innovate. So the innovation wins every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also found that once you release something and it sells really well, like Bruco sold within a week, which is like amazing. It's like a week for a whole palette to go.
Yeah.
And that initial kind of flush of, yeah, it's brilliant, etc. And then they're looking for the next thing. So it's kind of like, there's a few people that get a bit disappointed. And sometimes we actually can't get the ingredients. So we do a key lime pie IPA.
Yeah.
And we love it. I love it particularly. I absolutely love it. But we just can't get key lime puree at the moment at a cost that is commercially viable.
Right.
And
there'll always be something new.
That's right.
Like, we'll just look out for the next one.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So you guys are growing.
Yep.
And you've got distribution all around the area you mentioned. But, you know, we keep coming back to sort of community. And we've talked a little bit about, you know, how you engage with the community, with the names of the beers. What are some of the other ways that you kind of engage with the local community? I know you do a lot of events locally. Yeah. So, yeah, what are some of your other sort of community initiatives, I guess?
So we want to kind of give back as well. So I support two sporting entities locally. So the Summer Sixes football. And I also do the Great Lakes Pearl Dragons, which I'm really passionate about, and I love going out dragon boating as well.
Yeah.
So those are two sort of like local sponsorships in particular. And we move those around from time to time. So we did the Dolphins rugby team last year and the year before. So we sort of like will support different teams from time to time. And, you know, obviously I support a number of local charitable causes as well. That's something that's really important to me too. But it's really about the events that we do are actually about helping those events market. So for example, Old Bar Festival, we do actually a dedicated can for them to promote the beer. It's a limited release of our Palms Pale, and which is our most popular beer. Yeah. So we do that. We use the can art that they design and we use that, and we run competitions and things like that. And it's really about helping them and giving them an avenue to really promote their event too. And you know, we're there on the night in the bar talking about, on the night, it's like 3 days, talking about the beer and serving the beer. Yeah. We don't go into anything, you know, half-hearted. If we're going into doing something, we're there, you know, 100%. Both feet, and we're going to make it work. And sometimes there's initiatives that we know that we can't commit to because we actually can't do it justice. So we select those really carefully.
And I think that's important too, isn't it? You know, for yourself as well as for whichever event you're getting involved with, you want to be able to make sure that they're getting 100%, but you're not also kind of putting yourself in a difficult position.
Yeah, that's right. So that's we're very kind of selective about what we get involved in. And when we do, we really kind of take it to the nth degree. And we have some amazing local events, like we have Wingham Music Festival, which is fantastic. Such a terrific event towards the latter part of the year. We have Taste Fest, which is, it's a really, really, it's usually around sort of April time. Mm-hmm. Absolutely excellent event in Taree. And yeah. Then obviously we have our beer industry events. So we're heading off shortly to Newcastle and Canberra beer festivals too. So
so we've talked a bit about the produce that we have in our area and how terrific it is, and we've mentioned a couple of other local producers as well.
Yeah,
but one thing that the Mid-Coast does well is events and festivals.
Yes.
So are there any particular ones, you've already mentioned a couple, but are there any particular ones you think that beer lovers especially should have on their calendar if they're coming to our beautiful part of the world?
Well, I think, you know, I love the fact that Wingham Music Festival and Old Bar Festival, they, you know, they choose a craft for a craft beer, local product to have in the bar. And that's, to me, that just is actually about, because you can run an event and, you know, just get the commercial guys involved, you know, the big players, and they will, you know, they'll give you lots and that, you know, I'm sure give you lots of sort of like umbrellas and all those types of things. But they probably don't have as much of people on the ground support and things like that. But, you know, when events actually choose to have craft beer and choose to have local, that's so magical. It's really supportive and it really goes to the, you know, the almost kind of like the professionalism and the ethical piece of the whole event.
And I think it goes to the heart of what local festivals are about.
That's right. Yep. You know, it's about supporting the whole industry.
Yeah. You know, of course there are commercial realities, but they're not about, they're not about making money. They're about community.
Yep.
They're about local. And for those who come to our area for these festivals who are not locals, it's about them having the opportunity to experience everything that is Barrington Coast.
Yeah,
and that includes
absolutely.
Our local producers. So, yeah, 100%. And Wingham and Old Bar, they're fabulous. You know, I've been to both of those. And like, if you're a Combi fan, you can't miss Old Bar.
I know,
can
it's
you?
Fantastic. You it's fantastic. Yeah. But it's that whole piece as well around the fact that you want your whole community to thrive. Mm. So it's vital for our business that our local community thrives as well. And we need to keep jobs in this local area. So we need the money coming into this area with those events. So we need to make those events a success and be part of a successful event.
Yeah,
so it's really, it's two-way as well. It's in our interest because the more of these great events that we have, the more of the, you know, lovely restaurants and bakeries and things that we have, that will help our business too because people will come to the area.
Absolutely. And it's such a beautiful area. And I think it's one of those really nice anomalies, isn't it? That as a tourist destination, if we deliver an incredible tourist experience to the people who are coming to visit, and for anybody who's listening who's thinking of coming to visit, we deliver a pretty fabulous tourist experience in this area.
Yeah.
But I think it's one of those really nice anomalies that if we do that, then it benefits us as well. So we're not only looking after the tourists, but we're looking after our own interests by making sure that we deliver something pretty spectacular. And it's a competitive market right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, tourism is a competitive market right now.
Yeah. And I love the way that we can always, like, no matter what business you're in, you can kind of, like, you just sort of cross-promote, even if you do it indirectly. Like, I'm always sort of chatting to people in our tap room about sort of different things that they can do and also just letting them know about things like, you know, we have a wonderful Italian deli. We have, you know, obviously the guys who have the the bread people, artisan.
Palms.
And then we've got, we've actually got the artisan farmer.
Mm.
And then we've got, you know, just things like the wonderful store on Wall Street, Coasting Home, you know, where you can get really lovely presents and things like that. So it's just really about sort of like how you can support your fellow business colleagues.
Well, named up, but you've just named all the good ones. Good work. Our podcast loves you for this. Convos loves you, Helen. So this is a really nice segue because, you know, we are such a wonderful tourist destination. And I think one of the reasons we are is that, you know, we have this great connection to nature. We've got the waterways, you know, we've got the beaches, we've got fabulous oysters. As you said, we've got Barrington Cops with tops with national parks and bushwalking and four-wheel driving if that's what people want to do. So it's really important that we protect that. Sustainability is so important. And our region has recently been acknowledged as an ecotourism destination, as it should be. The craft brewing industry generally, I think, is leading the way when it comes to sustainability, which is wonderful to see. Are there any, I guess, sort of eco-friendly practices that you guys or that Coastal Brewing has that you're proud of?
Yeah, so we talk about sustainability all the time in things that we do. So even down to the fact that we, you know, as much as possible, we'll have Australian barley. We want it, you know, as local to the brewery as we can. There's many different angles. There's the really base level of brewing beer is we have spent grain. So the grain basically goes into the mash tun, and once it's used, it's like this big sludgy porridge. And some of those grains are like really kind of top end grains. They're kind of like roasted and, you know, they've been through maltster and things. And those grains, we're not going to waste those grains. They then go back to, they go to a farm in Coomba Park. So it comes, right, gets picked up, and that grain is then goes, is eaten. So we do not waste any bit of that grain. So, yeah. So they get, so the grain serves two purposes almost, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the sort of like very base level things in brewing. We obviously have high electricity needs with chilling. So we have, our roof is just solar panels.
Fantastic.
And yeah, which is really important to us. And it's, you know, it's a sensible thing to do.
I love that, because I think solar, because it's been around for such a long time, we sometimes forget about it and don't think about it. But it's one of the easiest and most effective things that we can do to reduce, you know, our reliance on other forms of electricity, which, you know, at the moment is such an issue for cost of living, but also it has such an impact on our environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're very, very conscious of that as well. And then the other one, we have two state-of-the-art biogills. So I'm not sure if many people are aware of the process of producing beer, but we have a lot of essentially, as the beer is being fermented, we take off yeast that's, you know, like when you have bread, it expands and expands.
Yes.
So we take off the yeast from the bottom of a fermenter.
Yeah.
And we put that yeast into, it goes off site, but so that it doesn't go into the drain. And I'm getting to the sustainability bit here, but there will be any residual amount, a tiny bit of, you know, hot water or a bit of yeast in the water in our drains. And one of the things we can't do is we cannot put that straight into the sewer, because if we put anything yeasty into the sewer, it would multiply.
Oh, yeah,
so okay. It could potentially re-ferment as well. So you just can't do that type of thing. So we have this thing called biogills, and it's effectively what they're doing is they are circulating technically they're circulating to a point, to a pH level whereby we can drop that that water into the, which contains a little bit of hop and yeast, into the sewer. It gets down to a certain pH level, and what it does, it goes through these gills and through these gills, and they strip out all those kind of nutrients that could be actually dangerous to getting into our sewer. And also getting into our water system,
into our
as
waterways.
Well.
Yeah, of course. Oh, that's fantastic. And then, of course, there's, you know, the wider, I guess, craft beer industry initiative, which is the growlers and the squealers.
The growlers, they are very good.
So get some growlers and squealers.
Yeah, definitely.
For anybody listening. What's the future of craft beer looking like? What are you seeing, any kind of emerging trends, I guess, that kind of excite you as a brewer?
Gosh, so we're always looking at the new ingredients. That's sort of like at the base level. The industry, I'm always very optimistic, as you know, but the industry is really going through a tough time at the moment. And I would say to anyone, just get out there and really support those local, those local producers. They're running businesses that employ people, and that money goes back into the local community, because it's just the way that Yeah, it's just natural economics.
Yeah.
Of a local business. So wherever you are, just support your local brewery. In terms of other sort of wider trends, etc. Mm. So we're seeing a growing market for the non-alcoholic beer. And we're also seeing a growing market for things like RTDs. So ready to drink. So this is kind of, we interpret that as things like a seltzer. So, yeah. Which is effectively an alcoholic sparkling mineral water with
some good ones.
A natural flavor. Yeah. Mm. So we're really lucky. We have a piece of technology that's allowed us to take a fully fermented beer. So with all the flavor that beer has, put it through this reverse osmosis filtration system. Out of one outlet, we get clear alcohol. And out of the other outlet, we get the base for our non-alcoholic beer. So we're actually able to do effectively get two products out of one batch of beer when we're making a non-alcoholic beer.
And that's another, I guess, sustainability practice, I guess, is to not waste anything. Because you and I spoke, it was a while ago now, I think it was when you were first started looking at producing a non-alcoholic beer. And I was blown away when you said to me that because the alcohol is such an important part of the stabilization process, you've got to brew an alcoholic beer and then take the alcohol out of it.
Yeah, that's how we do it. There's different ways you can do it, but that's the way that we do it. And then we then pasteurize that beer. So we don't pasteurize our normal beer because the alcohol bit gives a level of protection and preservation to the beer. Yeah. But non-alcoholic beer, we do pasteurize.
Yeah, right. So that lets you, as you said, ferment that fully flavored beer, so it doesn't kind of, you know, doesn't taste watery or anything like that. But and then you're reusing the alcohol to make seltzers, and you've got some really cool flavored seltzers too.
It's good. It's good fun, and just coming up with things that people will like is also kind of good fun.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, this has been really fun. But before we wrap up, just a couple of rapid fire questions for you. We kind of touched on this before. Favorite child? Do you have a go to Coastal Brewing Company beer that's your fave?
Oh God, it's like the favorite child thing.
I know.
So it's kind of like a really tricky, but I think it's going to have to be Brew Coast. So it's our coffee, chocolate, and vanilla imperial stout that we've got. We're actually coming to the end of this batch at the moment, but we'll have our bourbon barrel aged out in June. So which will be terrific. But then I also really, really like the sour beers too. So, which is, they're fruity. Yeah. They're always really refreshing.
Mm.
You ask anyone, they'll come up with different, I'm just thinking about what David and James back at the brewery would say. They'd be like into the hops immediately. Like, you know, it'd be double IPA, this double that. And
David likes
but there's a beer for everyone.
I know. It's what's so great about beer. It's what's so great about craft beer. You know, because I think that sort of more commercial beer market, they're all a bit homogenous, but craft beers, there's something for everyone. They're all a bit different. The styles are so different. And so if you could only have one style, if you are stranded on a desert island with one style of beer forever, what would it be?
Probably sour.
A sour?
Yeah, a sour. Okay.
And so for anybody who wants to follow along, who wants to keep up with what's happening at Coastal Brewing Company, or also wants to pop into the tap room, where do we find you? How do we find you?
Okay, so in terms of the tap room, we're at 3 Delman Street in Foster, so we're just off Cullerow Drive. Mm-hmm. But best to look on Facebook and Instagram for our news. I usually post sort of like 3 or 4 times a week, anything that's sort of newsworthy. And then we have a newsletter. We're just doing a brand update at the moment, so you'll see lots of sort of things coming out with our new updated logo.
The new logo looks terrific.
Yeah, thank you, Simon. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. We've taken the pelican to new heights.
Okay. Well, hey, Helen, thank you. I really appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us on Convos today. For anybody that does want to follow along with Coastal Brewing Company's socials, I'll make sure that all of the links are in our show notes from today's episode. Helen Black from Coastal Brewing Company, thank you for joining us on Convos.
Thank you. Thanks, Simon.
You've been listening to Convos, the Lifestyle Barrington Coast podcast. If you love this chat, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. And if you know somebody we should be talking to on Convos, hit us up on our Facebook page, Lifestyle Barrington Coast.